Be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
As Jesus passed by, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the customs post. He said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. While he was at table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat with Jesus and his disciples. Pharisees saw this and said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus heard this and said, "Those who are well do not need a physician, but the sick do. Go and learn the meaning of the words, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
On this day after the 4th of July, when yesterday we pondered the meaning of our freedom, today we see how the Lord engages that freedom, specifically in vocations. Jesus came to where Matthew was working, just like he had previously come to where Peter, Andrew, James, and John were working. And he summoned them to a different type of work. Said to Matthew, "Follow me." And Matthew got up and left everything behind in order to follow the Lord Jesus. Matthew could have easily been enslaved by the money that was on the table before him. But he wasn't. He was free. Free enough to be able to give himself wholeheartedly to whatever the Lord was asking, not really knowing exactly where the Lord would lead him. And then Matthew, with great freedom, summoned his friends to be able to meet that same source of liberty, Jesus himself, throwing this party, so that they too might be able to follow the Lord and walk in his presence in the land of the living. Today's first reading, we see the vocation of Rebekah and Isaac. It might seem like the oldest instance of an arranged marriage, but it was not just the work of the senior servant of Abraham. But as you see in the 24th chapter of the book of Genesis, it was really the work of the Lord. After Abraham instructed his senior servant to go to the land of his kin, he went to Abraham's brother's place, Nahor. And he turned to the Lord and totally dedicated the entire search to the Lord, saying, "I'll wait for a woman who comes to this well, and after she offers me something to drink, if she simultaneously offers to water my camels, I will know that that is the one." First woman who showed up was Rebekah. She kindly gave him some cold water to drink, just like Sister Lumen Gloria did to me this morning, twice. And then, without missing a beat, she turned and she began to water the camels. And so that's when Abraham's senior servant went to her father, who was the son of Nahor, so Isaac's first cousin, and asked for Rebekah, describing the entire story and the prayer that had been given to the Lord. And because her father was free, because Rebekah herself was free to give consent, she came with Abraham's servant to meet Isaac. And as soon as she saw Isaac, as we see, she covered herself with a veil because she recognized, in a sense, she was unworthy of the gift, but God would make her worthy. Freedom to respond to a vocation. Today is the 50th anniversary of my parents' wedding, July 5th, 1969, which is a very important day in church liturgical history. for those of you who care about such things, it was the first day that there was a massive anticipation. A 4 or 5 p.m. vigil mass, for example, on Saturday. That was the day my parents wed. And their vocation is just as real as the vocation of Matthew. Their vocation is just as real as the vocation of Rebecca and Isaac. Their vocation is just as real as your vocation and my vocation. And in fact, without their vocation, I wouldn't have my vocation. We give God thanks for the vocations that He gives us all and the way that He constantly calls us, not just freely to respond to it once, but to keep on giving. For those of you who are preparing for first vows, how important it is for you freely to be anticipating those vows each day. To be hearing the call of the poor, chaste, obedient, and life-giving spouse, summoning you to give yourself freely to His proposal. Renew that proposal, anticipate it each day, because it's meant to be something not just once given, but perpetually given. That's the secret to a truly loving and happy, freely living out of our vocation. That's what I was able to see in my parents. Now, last Saturday, I drove up to Lowell in order to celebrate Mass for my parents on the solemnity of Saints Peter and Paul. That's just the way it worked out. So when you've got a solemnity, of course, you can't choose the readings. You have to use the readings of the solemnity. Fair enough. And so I talked about Peter and Paul, Roger and Midge. My uncle, my dad's best man, died back in the 80s, and so he wouldn't be able to give a toast, but I had Peter and Paul toast with their beautiful thoughts on marriage and the call to love each other the way God and the church loves. That their yes is part of the great yes of salvation history. Peter and Paul both stressed that. Paul in his letter to the Ephesians and his first letter to the Corinthians. Peter in his first epistle. That's essentially their message. It's all vocational. It's all this arranged marriage. But arranged by God, not earthly servants. He said that just as much as Peter and Paul were church builders, instruments by God to build up His family, so Roger and Midge were superb domestic church builders. They follow the same help of the Holy Spirit. Talked about how Peter and Paul both show us the virtue of perseverance in a loving vocation. To fight the good fight, to finish the marathon, to keep the faith. And they instruct us by their words and by their witness precisely how to persevere. And then lastly, Peter and Paul both talked about the Holy Eucharist is the real source and the summit of our life. And I rejoice that my parents have always lived a Eucharistic life and passed it on to us. We see there the means of great fidelity, to recognize the spousal calling, to build our entire life on it and help others to do the same, to persevere in relation to the Lord's fidelity, and then to recognize that Christ consummates that spousal bond every morning when the bride takes within the body of the bridegroom and becomes one flesh. This is the means by which we're able to live our vocation in love as we receive the love of the bridegroom and are capable of loving others as He has loved us first. Today, as we give thanks to the Lord for He is so good, and in a special way thank Him for our vocation and the vocation of my parents, we ask Him to continue to bless us by His spousal love and help us to remain faithful until that time when we're able to give thanks to Him for His goodness at the nuptial banquet forever.